this morning as your sons and daughters, your children adopted by your grace to the family of God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, all worldly cares and concerns and burdens aside, we rejoice this morning. Though you dwell in unapproachable light, no mortal can see you and live. And yet though you are so high, you regard the lowly, you regard the meek, you regard the humble. You dwell with those of a humble spirit. You dwell with those who tremble at your word. And in your grace, you've come down to us in Jesus Christ to make us your own, that we might be with you and share your glory forever and ever. Not only that, Lord, you've also sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts so that we come to you in love and adoration. And Father, we ask this morning for your presence. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to pray. For oftentimes we do not know how to pray, what to say. Help us to rejoice. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be mindful. Help us to examine our own lives and the things that are most dear and near and precious to us. To give you all the thanks and all the glory. We pray that in all circumstances your great name would be honored and praised. Wherever it is sung, wherever it is preached, wherever it is proclaimed, the knowledge of your glory would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, you've set your King Jesus Christ upon his royal throne, and he is reigning in glory as you bring everything in subjection to him until every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, that Christ would reign in our lives, in our thoughts, in our attitudes. We pray that he would reign in our homes, in our relationships, in our vocations. We pray that he would reign in his church, and in this nation, and among the peoples of the earth. Lord, we pray that you would give us hearts to keep your commandments with all our heart, our soul, our mind, with all our strength to love you. To love you more than our own comfort, to love you more than our own possessions, to love you more than our own pride. Father, we know that you are the faithful shepherd. We are your sheep. That we shall lack nothing. But no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly and follow after you. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would search our hearts, that through a difficult experience you would draw us closer to you in Christ. You would tell us that sometimes we have not because we ask not. So this morning, Lord, we come asking, we ask for your blessing, we ask for your provision, we ask for your wisdom. Lord, we plead to you as your beloved children. We ask of our Heavenly Father to hear us in our corporate prayer, hear us this morning in our private prayers, that you would draw close to us as we seek to draw close to you. And Father, for those situations where we do not yet see your answer, we ask that you would enable us to persevere, not to faint, not to grow weary, but help us to trust in you without wavering, knowing that you will always do what is good and what is right, and you will do it in your own perfect time. Father, you are our protector. We are defenseless and we are vulnerable without you. Lord, we pray this hour, you would give physical strength, emotional strength, and spiritual strength, that your blessing would be upon us, that you would guard us from the enemy and his wicked schemes to subvert your kingdom. We pray these things in the name of Christ, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just by way of an update, significant fire in the church yesterday. I got a call about 5:45, I believe. Was asked to come to the church. And my first reaction was not to hurry, because I know we have a $250,000 state-of-the-art fire alarm installed, had one. So I felt certain the fire would be out before I even arrived. But it turns out lightning and the Lord are more powerful than fire alarm systems. The fire went on into the night. Just can't say enough good things about the fire department and the first responders and the police department. Just can't say thank you enough. They just really go above and beyond the call of duty, and certainly did last night. In terms of the extent of the damage, it was bad. All of the church offices, pastoral offices, are completely destroyed by fire. The sanctuary, remarkably, was sheltered by the flat concrete metal roof above it. So most of the damage in there was water and smoke damage. Didn't look like much fire damage in the sanctuary itself. I would be surprised if there's any way to salvage it, but time will tell. I heard a report this morning that the fellowship hall is somewhat intact. So the fellowship hall and the sanctuary are part of that original core, the box shell of the building. Fire rate appears to be destroyed. It was bad. But the Lord is gracious and no one was hurt. And we will press on. This morning I want to read from John chapter 4. If you have your Bible, then turn with me there. John chapter 4. Bear with me, it's emotional, and I know you understand that. I also did not sleep a wink last night. I went up to the church at 2:30 this morning, and still 10 people up there, just praying and looking. It's been a surreal experience. The lack of sleep played a role as well. Yesterday, when about the time I got to the church, the very first text message I got, of course, blowing up. The very first text message I got was from Robert Dean, and he said that he and his daughter Sarah had come over, and one of the first things she said to him was, "Don't worry, Daddy. The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of our God stands forever."
Amen.
In John chapter 4, I was just thinking about this last night. We looked at this some months back with we were in our early chapters of John. In John chapter 4, you'll remember Jesus had an encounter with the Samaritan woman. And in John chapter 4, verse 23, we find some very basic teachings on worship. And this was on my mind throughout the night as we were preparing this makeshift service today, because it speaks right into the core of who we are and what we do, and why we are able to keep doing it even under these circumstances. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus says, "For the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that we can come together as Your people. Lord, we know that You are with us in spirit, and that the hour is now here when true worshipers worship You in spirit and truth. How real that is to us this morning. We pray, Lord, that You would bless this time together. This would be a rich time of worship and growth in Your word. We pray these things in Christ's name and to His glory. Amen. When Jesus speaks to the woman of Samaria here, this is really a profound statement in the history of salvation and God's plan in dealing with His people. This throws the whole course of human relationship. relationship with God into a new direction. It renders the old obsolete. But he's saying something markedly and stark has changed with the coming of Christ. The hour is here, and the hour of John's gospel, as we've been seeing, consistently means the hour of Jesus' death and resurrection and exaltation. He's saying that when he dies and is resurrected again, he's exalted at the Father's right hand, something is changing in the tone and approach of the worship of God, and the destroying of his body and raising it up again is going to replace the symbolic and ritualistic worship of the temple, and it's going to be replaced by a new worship of spirit and a worship of truth and a worship that's based on not the old sacrificial system, but the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. That is at the heart of the fullness of biblical worship, and the coming of Christ brings that to fruition. And this is also a calling from Christ to see that the worship that we offer comes from our inner spirits. It comes from within. It comes from within the heart of men and women. It comes from the core of our beings, or at least it should. We are to come before the Lord with a heartfelt awe, a heartfelt reverence, an adoration. And it's not just about going through the motions, as so often the Old Testament sacrificial system worship system was. Christ is emphasizing here that this is something that is to come from the heart when he says that we are to worship him in spirit. But then in addition to that, he says we are to worship him in truth. So you hold those two things together. We worship in spirit and we worship in truth. Truth according to what has been given to us in the Holy Scriptures. And I don't think there's ever been a time in church history when worship has been more experimental. The idea is there are no absolutes. Let's just do it this way because it's entertaining, or let's do it this way because it feels right, or it elicits a particular response that we're trying to elicit. If you want warm, fuzzy feelings, you can find it. If you want self-help, you can find it. If you want moralism, you can find it. If you want entertainment, you can find it. Jesus says the Father wants worship according to what he wants, according to his truth. He wants it heartfelt. Very simple, very profound. And those two things are held together here. So our worship is to be simple, and it's to be straightforward, and it's to be reverent, and it's to be genuine, and it's to be heartfelt. Don't need a lot of elaborate ritual. You'll notice our worship is very limited in its use of symbols, other than those that are instituted by Christ. I spoke to one of our deacons this morning, and he asked, what do you want for this morning to make this happen? And I said, if you can bring the table and the cup and the plate, symbolically, that is right at the core because we are what we do. Words, actions, prayers. That's the essence of straightforward, simple, biblical worship that Christ is talking about. We don't need a lot of extravaganzas. Thank goodness we don't need the hypnotizer worship machine. We could have done without a keyboard this morning. Really good. That's bonus. So our worship is simple, and it's universally valid, and it can be conducted and enjoyed at any place, at any time, in any location. It can be conducted whatever your income level, whatever your educational level, whatever your technological prowess may be. It is simple, straightforward, heartfelt, spirit-filled worship based on truth. And you can do that in a grand cathedral of Rome, or you can do that in the old Mr. J. Stackhouse. But that's not to say that location is not important. God is not contained by a building, but we see many times in the scriptures that there are certain times and certain spaces where he meets with his people. And he does that in the church building. It's just sad to think about. With all the ties, people being baptized there, people being married there, raising their children there, communion being received there, the word being sanctuary, and it's a place set apart for a holy purpose, and that's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what it will be again. I've never seen a fire like that last night. The flames were above the treetops at times, and you've seen some of the pictures, or you were there. Mentioned appreciation for the fire department, first responders, and the police department, and I also really appreciate the media. It was wonderful. Write up in the paper this morning. They called me several times, seeking to get the facts straight, and I had at least three different reporters tell us that they were praying for us. And what a blessing it is to live in a community where reporters tell you they're praying for you, firemen, policemen tell you they're praying for you. My wife spoke to the lady in the Marriott Hotel last night when we were frantically trying to find a place to meet this morning. The hotel manager said, we're praying for you. The flames engulfed the building, and then I guess about 10:30 or so last night, Captain McBurney came out and motioned to me to come over. He said, I want you to come see a miracle. And so I followed him, and he took me into the front doors of the sanctuary, and there was a sanctuary still somewhat intact. Had not been burned, but like I said, water and smoke damage. A lot of the sheetrock had fallen down, and you can see up in the ceiling. That flat concrete roof that we've complained about so much over the years limited us so much, and the things that we might have done otherwise turned out to be kind of a bomb shelter. When that guy built the place to be a teen nightclub, he must have been thinking of the nuclear fallout. just amazing. But then here come these firefighters out of the front door, literally out of the smoke. It looked like a scene from Backdraft. If you've seen the movie, they're walking out, their equipment, hats, and everything. And they're carrying the cup and the plate. And then a few minutes later, they come out carrying, those two men carrying the pole out of the sanctuary and the baptismal font. And then you have on the front wall and down by the street, half the church is probably there praying and singing hymns. And just a surreal experience. And I'm sitting there thinking, if this church does not stand as a testament to the faithfulness of God to bless the ordinary means of grace and ministry, that's just focused on the word, sacraments of prayer, I don't know what it is. Just so encouraging. And the number of folks that express their love and support. You could tell, and I mean this, it's one of the most encouraging highlights of the night, that this was a congregation of people who truly believe that God is sovereign. That was a ringing note last night. It was everybody repeatedly saying, I don't know what's happening here, but it's going to be exciting to find out the Lord is in control. We know that. It references to the Lazarus passage a couple weeks ago. And as Chuck would say, that's just warm bread for our hearts. This idea that any of the difficulties that we encounter in life have to be kept in perspective. And I ask the question, is it bigger than a dead Lazarus? Barring the Bodhi. Those times when it looks like Christ is just too little too late, is it bigger than the dead Lazarus? And I dare say it never is. It never is. No matter how things appear, the Lord is working out His purposes and His plans, and He's doing His glory for our good. And you'll remember, too, in that Lazarus passage, we're reminded that we have a great Savior who loves us, who weeps with us when we mourn. We see Him weeping with His people, weeping over something that He could have prevented, and yet His emotions are intense, His tears are falling. He's mourning with His people, and He's entering into suffering with them. He's doing that today with His church. And He's doing all that to accomplish bigger purposes, and bigger purposes than we can ever imagine. I just have a chain of emails, texts, phone calls, and messages. And that was the ringing thing. He's doing something bigger than we can imagine. We'll get get to see this unfold, and he cares about us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. Well, this is just a logistical hairball, but we're going to get through this. And I know we're going to get through this because I know that God is faithful, and I also know that we have the right people to do this. I guess the one thing I want to emphasize this morning, other than God's goodness and His sovereign care, is that we as a congregation just be very careful not to get bogged down, not to get bogged down in division, not to get bogged down into committee purgatory. It does exist. I have been there. I have done penance there. But frankly, building projects are by far the biggest cause of church splits. And they're stressful. They're stressful on everybody. So bear patiently and bear with grace. And just keep in mind, we know who we are. And we know what we do. And that's one thing we want. And people are watching. People are going to be watching how we respond. And this is a time to rally. It's a time to remember who we are and get to it. And pray that the Lord will bless it. It's time to believe what we say we believe and put it into practice. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we have the most wonderful people in the world in this congregation. And last night, in a nutshell, was a testimony to that. Testimony to encouraging one another, to building one another up, to loving one another. I've never hugged more of you folks in my life. I shy away from that, but it was nice. Folks just pouring into the praise and singing, testifying to God's sovereignty, and that's what we preach, and that's what we believe. That's what we do. I got an email from one church member late last night. Says this: there was nowhere on earth I wanted to be tonight than with the people of God to worship in our sweet building. It was heartbreaking to see, but at least I was with my family. And then I saw in the paper this morning a story, which again, I appreciate the media and the coverage. On the back page, this was from one of our own teenagers in the church. Quoted as saying this: it's a terrible thing that has happened, but everything will be fine. This is not in our control. God does these things for a reason. This is where faith comes in. The only thing we can do is respond to it and carry on from here. Now let me tell you, that is somebody who has gone to a great church, who has been brought up well, who has been catechized, who is grounded in the faith, and praise be to God that from our church, the youth can give a more coherent, cogent, and hopeful statement of the own pastor as quoted in the paper. But when a youth of our church can be interviewed in the light of a tragedy like that and give a response like that, you can rest assured that we are doing the Lord's work. We are doing the Lord's work, and people are going to continue to watch that. And this is an opportunity. I fully expect this is going to grow us closer. In some ways, this is very exciting because we're going to see what happens. And this is also an opportunity to demonstrate that we believe what we say we believe, and by God's grace, the church, and our church in particular, is going to march forward. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your mercies to us. trust in you now, Lord. We rest in the palm of your hand, and we ask for your blessing. We ask for your guidance, your provision, your protection, your wisdom. Lord, we pray for the peace of the church. Lord, we do pray that this will be a time of unity and a time of growing closer together and advancing the work of the gospel. Lord, give us clear minds. We think through the logistics. But Lord, first and foremost, give us hearts that are tuned to you, worship you in spirit and truth.